HFFT. Now, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, this is a special Big Ten Media Week edition of The Bald-Faced Truth.
I'm in Indianapolis. I've been here 72 hours. It's 2024 Big Ten Football Media Days. Dan Lanning, University of Oregon football coach and avid golfer, or recreational golfer,
just stepped in. Recreational golfer.
You hit a hole in one at Pebble Beach.
At the hay. That's the important piece. I hit it on the hay, hole seven. It was fun. You know, Casey Martin, our golf coach, afterwards, he's like, "Look, I hear people giving you, you know, some guff for this being a par three course." He goes, "Why don't we send a video to Tiger, and we can ask him if it counts?" So I record a little video, and he throws me in a message with Tiger, and we send it, and Tiger texts back, "Absolutely, it counts. My first hole in one was on a par three course, but I was 8 years old."
Yeah.
So that was a good, like, it's a good reset for me. I'm 38. Yeah. He was eight. There's a chance I could win some majors if I really get busy over the next few years.
Take us through that. What club are you using?
It was a 56 degree. Like, it was a wedge because it's short. It's like 63, 64 yards. But it's fun. You could see it. Playing with some great friends, hit it up there. Got to see it roll back in the hole.
Oh, that's nice.
What's cool about the hay is they give you like this little medallion that says "I aced the hay." Yeah. It has the hole painted on the medallion.
Nice.
It was pretty cool.
So I talked to Neuheisel.
Yeah,
he said you crushed Jesse's girl.
Yeah, I had to come strong. Yeah. It's about knowing your crowd, right?
Yeah,
that's a good Jesse's girl crowd.
That's not an easy song.
That's an easy song.
You think so?
That's an easy song.
No.
I feel like that's a cakewalk. I've got a list in my phone of, like, you know, karaoke songs. A lot more challenging ones than that.
Case, I put you on the spot.
If you did karaoke. Yeah.
How are you feeling, man? Big Ten, it's happening.
It's refreshing, man. This is a really fun league to be associated with. You know, our commissioner, Tony, is ahead of the game, and I'm grateful that he not only listens, but then is an advocate and has a voice to go make changes that are necessary.
You know, I'm big on people. I talked to your parents when you got to town because I wanted to know who you are and knowing them. Tony Petitti, I wrote about his dad. His dad was a New York City cop.
Really?
And he was kind of a badass. Like, they were the crew that they would bus into, like, the worst neighborhood, highest crime neighborhoods. They would get out.
Throw down.
And the shift was 6 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Ooh.
And so I know what Tony's about, knowing his dad a little bit, you know?
Absolutely.
But you got a chance. You mentioned you got away with family.
We go to Missouri. It's kind of started this tradition for us the last couple of years. We go to the Lake of the Ozarks, and we get a place, and then for 2 days it's my family, and then 2 days it's Sophia's family. We have a lot of fun down there.
A lot of swimming, a lot of food.
Swimming, boating, tubing.
Yeah.
I'm the designated. I mean, I'm the driver of the boat at all times.
Yeah.
You know, so that you know, that's not as fun. I'm not riding the tube, but I've ridden enough tubes in my life.
Right. You don't need
my
to
job
that.
Is to see, can I throw them off the tube?
Yeah.
And I had like a small, like a pontoon boat this year. Yeah. Engine wasn't big, so
wait a minute, you're pulling a tube with a pontoon boat?
With a pontoon, because we have big families.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, let's load up 10 of us.
Everyone can go,
and everybody can hop on. But you know, you had to do trips, and these young kids. We have a lot of young kids in our family, so they're out there shredding waves, man.
We did last week. We had 22 people at our house. We do a summer camp for special needs kids, and my family all comes up. But all the cousins, I didn't grow up with a bunch of cousins.
Yeah.
I love that my kids have the cousins. Do your kids have that?
Tons of cousins. We make a lot of boys in our family.
Yeah.
Tons of boys. You know, I feel bad for the
little
girls.
We do girls.
We don't do that.
Yeah. It's a different environment.
We don't believe in that.
Dan Lanning is with us. All right. So this, I guess, is a football season just a football season? People are going to talk to you about what's different, what's changed. You're still playing another football season.
Yeah, it's football.
Yeah.
And you got to go out there and win, right? And the formula to win hasn't changed, right? But the ability to adapt, you know, meet your team where they're at, figure out what their strengths are. Yeah. We got to lean into whatever our hedgehog is, whatever we're really good at, and then start attacking the things that we got to improve.
Dylan Gabriel, Bo Nix goes out the door. I say, we'll never see a quarterback that starts 58 games again, and here comes Dylan Gabriel.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, right back in.
Bad take. Yeah.
So what is that transition going to be like, or what has it been like?
It's fun to watch. You know, Bo, obviously a tremendous player for us. I'm so excited about his future success with the Broncos. And you bring in a guy that, you know, okay, this isn't going to be Bo, and Dylan's done an unbelievable job of being authentic, being himself, getting immersed in the team really quickly, you know, taking on some of those leadership traits. So really proud of him.
the story goes that he went to his teammates and said, "You're going to get my best." How important is that to you to see a QB or any player talking to each other instead of it coming from you?
Yeah, I think we all coaches talk about player-led teams, and we're going to be the best version of us if our players are holding each other to a higher standard. And, you know, those aren't just words. Those are actions. So we have to see that show up. But Dylan's certainly a guy that has great experience, and I think his teammates, you know, really value, you know, his approach and the way he works each day.
You are, you've said that the rabbit has the gun now.
That's what I hear.
Some people don't like this.
They don't like it that we're able to compete at a high level. And Oregon always has been, you know, a premier team. But if you look at the best teams in college football right now, they're able to compete. And we're in a position where we can compete. And, you know, one thing we talk about, you know, everybody's got ice cream in front of them, whatever your favorite ice cream is. What I don't want to do is spend my time looking at somebody else's ice cream while mine melts, right? So I'm not really worried about what everybody else is doing. I'm making sure that we can operate the best at our level. There's a lot of things that go into having a great team, having, you know, do a great job in recruiting. And what gets discredited in that process is the job that our coaching staff does, the relationships, the 321 high schools that they went into this spring, the 23 satellite camps they visited. There's a lot of work to get a seat at the table there at the end.
And I also, look, I've been here 20-something years. It sounds bad, but I've been here like 20 years. I've seen Oregon grow.
Right.
And you're right about the rabbit having the gun. It wasn't always that way.
That's right.
And so, you know, Oregon has invested in some areas that others have not. And
that's right.
And it's put you in a great position.
Absolutely.
So I think it would be a discredit, too, to, like, the plan that happened over 20 years.
Yeah, it's been getting executed for a long time. And the opportunity to not just settle and say, let's continue to grow, let's continue to improve, that's something that attracted me to Oregon in the first place.
All right, I'm curious about this. Like, you're doing a lot of coaching. You do coaching during the season, but who's coaching you? Where do you get?
Man, I try to draw from a lot of places, whether it's, you know, pulling from a book or calling a previous mentor, whether that's, you know, Kirby or even a Sam Pittman, or just, you know, staying connected with guys that I think are great people but also great coaches. But yeah, that's something I always want to continue to work on.
What are you reading? What?
We just finished the book Hidden Potential. You know, really at the end of this spring, and I didn't do a good job of picking up a new book. So,
but you say we? Who else is?
Well, after I read a book that I like, after I read a book that I like, I'm like, all right, let's do this with the team.
Okay.
Right. So we go now. They get the Reader's Digest version, the bookmark version, and we kind of take them through some of the things that stuck out to us through that book. And we use our Get Real program. You know, every Wednesday, we spend time with each other and we talk about things besides football. And that's, you know, that's a great opportunity for us to.
You stick like a $100 bill in like page 80 just to see if they're reading or
no?
You know,
no, our guys are pretty.
You have to do that.
I don't know. I mean,
be a good trick.
We're in charge of the material, so
yeah. But isn't that funny? Like, I do have like a circle. Like Tim Boyle at Columbia, is CEO at Columbia. He'll send me a book, and he'll be like, "Hey, read this book," and I'm like, you know, I do think that there's something to taking that time. But where I struggle with is, all right, if I'm reading a book, it's taking time from somewhere else. Do you worry about that? Like, hey, I'm not. Maybe I should.
Well, it's probably why I didn't read a book this summer, John. You know, I mean, you have to dedicate some time. It's about being consistent and trying to focus on how much does it matter and can I spare 10 minutes at the end of the night or the beginning of my morning to get up and, you know, take advantage of that.
You've been intentional about family time. I see that you mentioned your kids when you're up on the big stage, and I think that's an important message to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You got that from your parents.
Right, absolutely.
Did you guys as kids have regular family activities? Or?
Well, every summer we were traveling somewhere. We were going to Yellow. We had load up in a conversion. I always got mad because I was in baseball season. I was Little League baseball, and like right around the end of June, you know, beginning of July, I didn't get to finish baseball season. And now I realize how important and why that mattered to my parents. But we would be go to Mount Rushmore or Yellowstone or drive to Houston to see cousins. So they certainly instilled that into me at an early age.
All right. So last season, the first Washington game, you took some heat for the fourth down calls. I wrote that I liked it and I didn't mind it. In part because it's on brand for you. Like, you're an aggressive guy. You're going to take some chances. You believe in your guys. I think those are strong. Those are messages, and I like when coaches will go for it. But where do you have you thought about the balance?
Oh, certainly. And even going back to that game, I think I said it right after the game. The decision to go for it on fourth down with an opportunity to kick a field goal there at the end is one that certainly could have gone the other way. And knowing that the other team's not going to get the ball, back. They're not going to have the opportunity to drive 90 yards. You know, that has to kind of be removed from that factor. So those are 3 points that I wish I would have taken. And if you ever knew the end result, you would always make the right choice. Right. But that's not
it's
how
like
football
playing
works.
Blackjack.
That's right. Know, wait, what do you have under there? Yeah, never mind. I'd like to pull my bat back. It doesn't work like that. So I'm continuing to grow and learn as a coach. And there's risks involved with every decision you make. And, you know, mine affect the entire organization. So it's important for me to, you know, be aware of that. That doesn't mean it has to change the mentality of our team and what we believe in. But I'll tell you this. If we're not good at converting on fourth down, we're not going to go for it on fourth down. If we feel strong, then we will.
Do you think defensive-minded coaches are more aggressive in that way? Because you kind of have to be that guy.
At times, but I don't know that that's a defensive or offensive-minded, you know, necessarily approach. I don't know if there's a correlation there. You know, maybe just aggressive guys are aggressive.
Best movie you've seen lately? Got a movie rec? It could be a kid's movie, even.
Give me a sec.
Because I think last time we talked about Wonka. And that was a while
ago. Yeah, that was a while.
Yeah.
It's,
I've been on a kind of a slump. I haven't seen anything lately.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we ever talked about the Dune movies, but those are pretty good.
I like it.
Yeah. Dune 2 is better than Dune 1, but I haven't watched it for
a long
time.
Would you have done well in that era? Like, let's say that happens. Dan Lanning's out there in the middle of nowhere. Do you fare well or...
Yeah, that's a great question. The desert, that looks like a really dry desert. I'd need to be in a wetter environment.
I need a shower.
Like. Right.
You know, even if I'm camping, I need a shower.
Yeah,
give me a regular shower.
That would be tough.
Yeah.
That would be tough. I think I could do good at the sand walking deal that they have to do.
You reel that side to side thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, discipline.
Non-rhythmic like movements, I could do that.
Dan Lanning with us. Let's talk some football. Biggest area where you think this team has improved? Position group.
Yeah. I'll just say in general, the depth of our team right now is the best it's been since I've been here. You know, I think that's something you work really hard in recruiting and development of your players to get to where it allows us to practice in a way that we want to practice. You know, this spring we're able to do a lot of two-spot drills. So instead of 22 guys getting better or 44 guys getting better, you got 88 guys getting better because we're working on both fields. So that's increased the depth of our team. We have quality players to where if somebody does, you know, go down, we have a great player that can go in and compete for us.
Mike Riley saw your quarterbacks, and I trust his eye.
Yeah, what do you think?
He says all three of those guys can play.
Yeah, we got some players there. I feel good.
The three guys we saw in the spring, mainly, and you know, they can all play. How do you keep them happy?
Well, that's always the challenge, right? I think you have to be able to point to, you know, their opportunity for growth and point to the opportunity that exists here at Oregon. There's been some great stories of players that were really patient, really aware of themselves, had great self-awareness, and had a lot of success. And, you know, I think that's something you'll keep pointing to, but it's our job as coaches to make sure that they feel engaged and they feel like they're getting better and improving. The worst thing in the world is a guy that's a backup at a position that doesn't feel like he's getting better, and that's our challenge as coaches.
22-5, I'm going to say this, and you might be offended, but you made it look easy to an extent. Like, I thought 10 wins in the first year, you kind of made it look easy, and then you did better last year. You took a step forward. Are those steps, the next steps you have to take, are they bigger steps or smaller steps than what you've done?
Well, I think everyone will tell you when you get to the top of the mountain, it's harder and harder to climb, right? Mm-hmm. And certainly none of what we've been able to accomplish here so far has been easy. But we have a team that appreciates hard work. And so, there's some hard steps to climb for us to finish where we want to finish. But that's the challenge. That's the fun part.
But you're not dealing with learning how to be a head coach this year, right?
I'm still learning how to be
a head
coach.
Are you really?
Absolutely, right? Like, if I'm not getting better every day, then shame on me.
Yeah, but that first year,
I'm not messing up the...
You're hiring, you know?
Yeah, I'm not messing up, like, the walkthrough before a game where the band's coming on the field and we're still kicking a field goal. We don't have those moments anymore.
I've done that.
Yeah. I've made that mistake.
Yeah. Is that just... Do you need a person to handle that? Or with somebody next to you going, hey, we got to...
Yeah, I mean, there is a person for that. And they are much better at their job today than they were that day.
I love that.
Accountability is
Are you
important.
Easy to work for?
I don't know. You'd have to ask. You know, I don't know.
No,
that's
but I've been
question.
Around a lot of coaches, okay? And some, I'll watch the assistants.
Yeah.
And you can kind of tell if they're exhausted, they're kind of,
right.
they just
I don't think our
grinding.
Coaches walk around with a lot of anxiety. I think they have a desire to be the best version of themselves. I don't think that this is probably the most comfortable place to work, which is okay. But I do think it's an environment that they feel like they're growing and that we're in it together.
Yeah.
So it's not supposed to be easy, right? Yeah. I hope I'm not the easiest person in the world to work for, but that also means there's a level of accountability that exists.
I also think you're not going to lose coaches, given where you are and what you guys have built. You're not going to be losing coaches to maybe other programs unless they're going to be a head coach.
Right. You know, that's hopefully what we're trying to build. And you have to make decisions within your program about, you know, what's the best for your future and how you grow Oregon first. But within that, certainly one of my goals is to help our coaches reach their aspirations and goals.
All right. Give me another one of your karaoke songs. Jesse's Girl. What's another go-to? Eye of the Tiger on that list?
Yeah, every once in a while we'll pull out some like Isley Brothers.
Okay.
Which great because they can kind of hit every single decade. They're one of the few groups that can, you know, live in every world.
But you were doing that with a live band, right?
Jesse's that one Girl? Was a lot. That was the That's thing. So I had no idea it was going to be like, there's no monitor with words.
Yeah. You have to know the words.
Had to know the words, man.
But,
had to know the words.
But Neuheisel said, crushed it, killed it.
Backup career.
Yeah.
Like, there's a fallback plan.
You'll be in Reno.
Yeah.
With a silver dollar.
Silver dollar.
Doing whatever.
Backstage.
All right, man. I was going to ask you a blackjack question, but I forgot the question now. Okay. All right. We're playing blackjack together.
All right.
You kind of have to be in a vibe.
You have to have a good group at the table.
And, yeah, because if not, you're thinking too much. You're thinking.
Yeah.
You have to be able to take a little bit of risk.
That's right.
Is that at all similar to, hey, we're going on fourth down? You kind of have a... Give me the gut feeling that you have when you're making.
Man, I feel a lot more comfortable on a football field than at the blackjack
right.
table.
Yeah.
And that's just based on percentages over time. It hasn't been a winner for me. But there's certainly a level of, okay, what do the numbers say? Is there some risk involved?
Yeah.
But you don't know what play the dealer is going to call. At least we have a little bit of an idea of what the other opponent might be calling.
Yeah, and I'm looking around the casino and I'm going, there.
The reason the lights
not
are bright?
Free.
There's a reason the lights are bright and there's no clocks in
this
there.
This makes sense. Dan Lanning, thank you. Appreciate
John, appreciate you, brother.
I'm at Big Ten Conference Media Days in Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium. Great show today. You have heard from Rick Neuheisel. You have heard from Jonathan Smith. Pat Chun, the athletic director at Washington State. Much more ahead, including Tony Petitti, the Big Ten Conference Commissioner. Interesting. I want to unpack the Dan Lanning stuff just a little bit here. That, you know, he's obviously talking about growth, a step forward, those incremental steps that coaches take over time that result in them, you know, ascending. And a 10-win season in year one, who were unhappy with 10 wins, were missing the point. I think coaching transitions are very difficult. There's a lot, especially with a first-time, first-year head coach who is taking over a program. 12 wins in year two. Certainly, I think the goal this season is for Oregon to get to the college football playoff and rattle around in it. Now, October 12th, Oregon will be at home against Ohio State. It is a big football game. You heard Rick Neuheisel earlier predict that, or he said Oregon is the favorite in the Big Ten Conference in his mind. That game on October 12th, circle it on your calendar because I know everybody else has. Standing room only tickets have gone on sale at Autzen Stadium. I'm eager to talk to Rob Mohns, the Oregon Athletic Director, in the coming weeks about the impact of that game, all the new season tickets, and everything that Oregon is doing. But certainly Dan Lanning is driving the bus on this, and I'm eager to see what Oregon does with Dylan Gabriel at quarterback versus Bo Nix. I'm not completely sold that is going to be a smooth transition. I think everybody's kind of expecting that Dylan Gabriel will just do what Bo Nix did. But as I look at it, I think it's a lot to ask for a quarterback, even a guy with 50 starts, to come in and be Bo Nix and that kind of production. So I'll be curious to see, can Will Stein, the coordinator at Oregon, get that out of Bo Nix? But, you know, I wrote about it today at johnconzano.com. You know, Phil Knight has invested $1 billion at Oregon. Oregon wants to give him a return on the investment, and it is no longer good enough like just to get to a Rose Bowl or get to a nice bowl game and win it, go to a Fiesta Bowl and beat Liberty and do whatever. You know, it's no longer good enough. That's not the bar anymore for an 87-year-old Phil Knight. Oregon, not Phil Knight, will tell you that they are eager to get him a return on his investment. It's not like he's out front saying, damn it, like an owner saying, damn it, I need my national title, but that's what Oregon would love to hand to Phil Knight and Penny Knight for their investment in Oregon football. So I'll really be curious to see if Dan Lanning can take all the resources that Knight has given him. He's getting great recruiting classes. He's got the staff he needs to recruit. He's got the facilities. Oregon wants for nothing. In this new world of college football, they are right at the top. But I will be really curious to see if Dan Lanning can maximize that talent and can turn it into W's on the field, especially in big games against opponents that you have to beat to get to the top of the mountain. You got to knock Ohio State out. You've got to go and beat the top SEC team. Ultimately, that's the path to a national title, and that's where Oregon has its aspirations. But I'm with Lanning in that when people just look at Oregon and go, look, they got all the resources, you know, they should win, they should be great. We have seen a lot of schools that have resources, that have brand, that don't have that kind of success. So I do think it's an insult to the work that is being put in and the investment that has been made over the years. We see it all the time in professional sports. Teams with the biggest payrolls don't always win the championships. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. So much more ahead.